In the 1990s, Albania, fresh out of communist rule, was one of the poorest countries in Europe. In 1997, it was gripped by mass civil unrest after the collapse of a series of government-backed pyramid schemes, while an influx of refugees after the Kosovo War, as well as widespread corruption, created difficult challenges for an emerging economy. But today, Albania is among the fastest-growing economies in Europe, thanks to a post-pandemic boom in tourism, and is apparently on track to complete its EU accession talks by 2027, which should provide a further boost to its economy in the medium term. So, in this video, we're going to take a look at Albania's economic miracle, and what might be driving it. Who is the most influential person in the world? Each year, we ask the audience to rank their top 10 most influential people across politics, media, culture, and activism. And now it's time for you to have your say. Click the link in the description to cast your vote for our 2026 ranking. To understand why Albania's economic performance is so impressive, you need to understand just how fragile the Albanian economy used to be. From 1945 until 1991, Albania was governed by the ruling Party of Labour of Albania, a communist party whose regime was considered one of the harshest and most ideologically rigid in history. All means of production were controlled by the state, agriculture was fully collectivised, industry nationalised, and private enterprise strictly forbidden. Under its leader Enver Hoxha, Albania cut ties with Soviet Yugoslavia and the USSR, while its constitution actively banned foreign investment and the acceptance of state loans or foreign aid, making Albania one of the most economically isolated countries in the world. However, in 1989, Albanians began protesting against the government's extreme isolationism, and forced it to open up slightly, allowing Albanians to travel abroad and loosening state control over the economy. Then, in 1991, after the fall of communism, Albania became a parliamentary republic, legalised opposition parties, and began its shift to a market economy. The Communist Party of Labour dissolved and reassembled itself as the centre-left Social Democratic Socialist Party of Albania. During its post-communist transition, Albania went through a period of hyperinflation, as goods prices that had previously been fixed for decades were suddenly determined by market rates as part of a process known as shock therapy. This caused a huge spike in prices, with inflation peaking above 200% in 1992. The 1992 and 1996 elections were won by the centre-right Democratic Party of Albania, which led the country's transition to a free market economy, and by the mid-90s, Albania had the fastest-growing economy in Europe, helped by significant foreign investment from the US, EU and IMF. However, Albania's emerging financial system, which wasn't properly regulated, soon became dominated by pyramid schemes, which were endorsed by the government and which two-thirds of the Albanian population invested in. This effectively created a nationwide bubble. But when this bubble popped and the schemes collapsed in 1997, Albania descended into mass disorder and a near civil war, resulting in the deaths of nearly 2,000 people. After the crisis, which brought down the Democratic Party government, Albania reformed its financial institutions and governance, and from the late 90s, its economy rapidly began to grow, averaging around 5-6% growth annually in the decade from 1998 to 2008. During this period, Albania had one of the fastest growing economies in Europe, and its poverty rate halved from 25.4% in 2002 to roughly 12.4% in 2008. Somewhat ironically, because Albania's still developing economy wasn't as integrated into the global financial system as other European economies, Albania was one of few European countries to avoid a recession during the 2008 financial crash. Since 2013, Albania's economic growth has continued steadily under the continuous governance of the Socialist Party. Its leader, Prime Minister Edi Rama, has focused on large-scale public investment and aligning Albania with EU standards, with Albania aiming to fully join the bloc by 2030. Under Rama, foreign investment in Albania has increased, transport infrastructure has expanded, and tourism has risen by more than 80% since 2019, making Albania the second fastest growing destination globally after only Qatar. This all puts Albania on track for strong GDP growth of 3.6% in 2025, according to European Commission data, higher than the EU's 1.4% forecast and higher than all EU candidate countries apart from Georgia. So, how did this happen? Well, as we see it, Albania's economic miracle happened in two main stages. Firstly, a period of macroeconomic stabilisation from 1997 to 2013, and secondly, from 2013 onwards, including Albania's ongoing EU accession process. In the first period from 1997 to 2013, with IMF and World Bank support, Albania rebuilt its banking system, stabilised its currency, and brought inflation down from above 5% in 2002 to low, stable rates of 2 to 4% for the next decade. The other major factor here was external inflows of cash from Albanians working abroad. For much of the 2000s and 2010s, remittances from the Albanian diaspora helped support household income and consumption, with around a quarter of Albanian households receiving remittances, and remittances making up 40% of household income in 2006, falling to around 20% in 2019. In fact, without remittances, some 40% of Albanian households in 2006 would have fallen below the poverty level. This made Albania something of a remittance-dependent economy, similar to countries like Lebanon and Nepal today, which rely heavily on transfers from overseas citizens to support their domestic populations and keep them out of poverty. Similarly, during this period, Albania's improved financial system also encouraged foreign investment, especially into energy and infrastructure projects like the Trans-Adriatic Pipeline, a natural gas pipeline linking Azerbaijan to Greece, Albania and Italy. Anyway, let's move on to Albania's second period of growth now. Since 2013, Rama's government has focused on boosting infrastructure development, energy, particularly hydropower, and tourism. In 2014, Albania became an EU candidate country, requiring it to align with the bloc's laws on regulation and governance, improving Albania's business climate and encouraging foreign investment. Tourism has also played a huge role in driving economic growth. Since the mid-2010s, Albania's tourism sector has expanded rapidly, supported by infrastructure development and relatively cheap prices for visitors. The World Travel and Tourism Council estimates that the share of Albanian GDP generated by travel and tourism has risen from 20.6% in 2019 to 26.4% in 2025, a figure that corresponds with a huge surge in visitors, with record highs of nearly 12 million tourists, more than four times Albania's population in 2024. Political stability has also paid economic dividends. Rama has been in power continuously since 2013, winning another election in May of this year, and large infrastructure, transport and energy projects have proceeded more quickly than before, as there haven't been any changes of government to cause interruptions. While Rama has been accused of consolidating power in Albania by weakening checks and balances and centralising decision-making, this same concentration of authority has arguably reduced volatility and reassured investors, although concerns about democratic transparency and accountability remain. We're taking a break from regularly posting over the festive period, but if you did want more from TLDR, then check out our magazine Too Long, which is also available as a digital edition, so you can start reading instantly. Obviously, the cover story is called The New Middle East, but there's much more than that, with full sections dedicated to UK, EU and global news. The EU section includes our interview with fellow creator Money and Macro, where we discuss how to fix the European economy, Macron's fall from grace, and how Albania has implemented an AI minister. The global section discusses why Trump's mandate isn't quite what it seems, how politicians conquered social media, as well as our rundown of the biggest elections that happened in 2025. And our UK section runs through the rise of a new left, why next year's elections are critical at all levels, as well as the strategies Starmer ought to take to maintain power, and Farage to gain power. Digital and physical editions are available right now, with physical editions shipping in the new year and digital copies being sent straight to your inbox. Subscribers to Too Long automatically get 20% off every copy as long as they stay subscribed. But as a special end-of-year offer, you can get an additional 30% off your first issue if you use code DECEMBER25 at checkout. Find out more by heading to toolong.news or by clicking the link in the description.